Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, and go to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 18. Continuing our global series, Great Faith. And we have been picking here at Bethel characters that are maybe obscure, less known for their faith, like the woman Pastor Rice preached about last week. And I identified with one of the messages that were there to be laid out for our global movement about Enoch. And I want to tell you in advance that I just cheated on this message. I was listening 2 nights ago to Pastor Steve Merle preaching this message in Hawaii, and it was so inspirational that I said I would do my best to repeat it. Though I'm not him, I don't have his sense of timing and humor. The revelation I feel like he gave was pretty significant. When you think about Hebrews chapter 11, I don't know about you, but when I read Hebrews 11 and you're listing the hall of faith, the great faith people, I immediately think about how awesome they are. And I do this unfair thing to myself. I begin to compare myself to that list. So they're pretty awesome. I'm pretty unawesome. Because I didn't do something quite as significant as what they have done. Remember, maybe 15 months ago, if you remember, I took Pastor Bryson with me to the inner city, and we were going to just work. I was going to introduce him to a few gang members, and we were going to work with him and everything. But it went left pretty quickly and got a little hot on the street, and, you know, Bryson was scared, and rightly so. I was a little nervous, but I couldn't let on. And when we were driving away, he was in such shock that we had been in that circle. He did not speak for 30 minutes straight. We was in the car. We didn't even talk. And finally, I said, Bryson, what's going on? He said, well, I did think I was going to die. And all I kept saying is, I did not lead enough people to the Lord to go see Jesus. And I pretty much look at that list, and at times in my life, I thought I could maybe live in some of the ways that these folks had, but as I'm getting up in age, sometimes the significant things they have done seem to elude my capability. And though somebody may view me as great, I'm looking at the Hall of Faith saying, could I make it? And I believe that sometimes we all read the Bible through that type of lens, searching for anyone that we could just identify with. And I think that one of the most unique characters to look at in the Bible is Enoch. He's a little mysterious. And there's some things that the Bible says about him that are maybe difficult even to comprehend. But yet there's some qualities that we can identify with that are just simple and regular and mundane, that makes him a character we may identify with above every other character. Now, the scripture does not really say a great deal about his life. It says a lot in the Hall of Faith. You know, in the Hall of Faith, it lists 21 times. It says, by faith, so-and-so did this. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. By faith, Isaac blessed. You know, by faith, Noah built an ark. They all had an action. 20 out of the 21 times, there's some type of action connected to your faith. But there's the 21st time, or one of the 21 times that by faith is said, there's no action connected with it. In fact, there's a statement that we find in Hebrews 11, 5 and 6 is quite unique to this character we're looking at today. It says, verse 5 says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life. I mean, by faith, he was taken. Not by faith he acted. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone that comes to God must first believe that he exists, and he's a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. You just are amazed when you see great things about so many people as to why a guy like this makes the list, and we don't really see a great measure of his greatness. You know, can you imagine in the Hebrew context of hearing their history in Hebrew, or the Jewish context, and they're seeing all this history, and out of nowhere this character comes. It would kind of be like this illustration. What do these names have in common? George Washington. Have my picture of George Washington. George Washington. Thomas Jefferson. Abraham Lincoln. John F. Kennedy. James Lowe. It's kind of like, yeah, first president. Yeah, Tennessee president, 16th, you know, and Jane Lowe, was he the president? No, it's like Enoch, all of these people, what did he do? He just walking with God? I mean, it was something ordinary about Enoch's life, mundane, simple, and Genesis 5, Let's just break down how simple his life really was. And why might you and I actually relate to Enoch? Let's just see if we have some commonalities. Okay? Genesis 5, 18. Let's just look at this. When Jared lived, which was his dad, 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. So Enoch was born. He had parents. He made the Hall of Faith. He had parents. After he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. He had siblings. Yeah, that's where his faith gets, this sibling thing. I see it. I see where he's going now. Altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years, and then he died. That was unique because every time in Genesis up until this point, up into Enoch, they said they lived this long and then they died. They lived this long and then they died. They lived this long and then he was taken. Verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years, became the father of Methuselah. He became a parent. He has parents. He's a sibling, and he becomes a parent. Unique. After he became a father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. It seems as if walking faithfully for 300 years seems mundane. Seems so very simple. Seems so very unattractive, just non-extravagant. He simply walked faithfully. Then this verse 24, he walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. The Bible, on purpose, states it a second time that he walked with God faithfully. What a powerful thing. What does it mean to walk with God? You know, how many walkers in here? Just wave at me if you're a walker. Yes. Well, wave your hand if you're a runner. Runners, raise your hand. We ain't talking about any of you. So no analogies will be for you. We don't even know if we care about your running. Okay. We're walkers. Walkers, one more time. Walkers. Hey, walker, how you doing? Yeah, we're spiritual. We're in the Bible. Okay? Funny, it's like when you go on a walk, there are times you go on a walk, and I've walked with my wife. You know, we go on walks together, and sometimes it's a prayer walk. We go and, you know, we walk, and we are just praying the whole time for people. And sometimes, I don't know how it's possible, it's a brisk walk, like we're going for a workout. You know, you walk real fast, and she's actually a faster walker than me, and I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I'm always saying, come on, slow down. You know, I'm more of a stroller. And she can walk. Sometimes, though, in a relationship, the best types of walks we take are not where it's exercise, not even our prayer walks. Because sometimes on our prayer walks, it's not a connectivity with her and I, it's an agreement to see breakthrough. Sometimes when we're just walking, and it's really not even words exchange, we're enjoying life together. It's a being, we're being. You know, it's funny. It's one of the more difficult things for me to do sometimes is not be doing anything but being. Do you find that difficult? To just be with someone. Experience the moments in life with someone. Do you find that enjoyable? Or have you never known the pleasure of literally just walking someone when there is no agenda except being together? You know, when you do that, you know it leaks out over time, the essence of a person. Their deep thoughts or dreams. You begin to notice things you never noticed before. You begin to see how they interact in life. You just begin to see something. You know, I love when Jesus called people to discipleship, like we're doing with our fair, like we're doing with our 3Ds, devotion, diversity, discipleship. He calls his disciples, and according to Matthew, he said he called them for the purpose of being with him. Before he was to teach them to cast out devils or to preach the kingdom, he first called them to be with him. Can you be with anyone? Maybe it's difficult for us to be in a life group or be in a discipleship relationship because we're not comfortable just being with God. There's something about Enoch. He learned to just be. So Enoch had his walk with God is what we want to look at. What does his walk with God looks like? Well, I love the first thing I know his walk looked like is what Amos 3:3 says. Here's how it says this. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? In other words, when you walk with someone, you're in agreement. You're in agreement when you're walking with them, you're in agreement about the pace. You're in agreement with the direction. You're in agreement with the timing. You're in agreement. Again, I want to identify with Enoch because it seems like an easy thing to do, but when I look at it more deeply, I wonder if we actually take advantage of the mundane faith that's equal to great faith of Enoch. His walk with God was in agreement with God. They were going in the same direction. His life was filled with, not my will, but your will be done. He was comfortable walking with God, but letting God dictate the direction, the lead, and everything. I think that's where I get uncomfortable. Because God seems to want to walk through fire longer than me. Yeah, I want to run through. Let's run through the fire. Now, Jesus, we got to go through the fire. Let's run through it. If God would have told me I had to die on the cross and I was God and man and I knew I had to pay for sins, I would say, well, you know what? We can have agony for a day or we can have agony for about a minute. So let's go with the minute version, Father. Why go slow? We can get this over quick. something about walking with him 300 years, day after day, you develop a pace that has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. You know, I wondered, you know, if you think about it, I didn't do the math really fast, but I eventually did the math that helped me realize that Enoch was alive at the same time Adam was. So Enoch was walking and he was actually able to see all the mistakes of the great, 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 great grandfathers. He was able to see what happened between Cain and, I mean, that story, that narrative. Knew Cain was alive. He knew how Cain's sons were doing. He knew Lamech was, you know, getting other women. He knew the world was changing. He knew that there was evil in the world. The Bible called Cain evil. And yet he made a choice. No matter how much the world was going in one direction, he decided walking with God was the right direction. And we know just 200 years from now, he would have that Noah moment where everyone's attitude, heart, and disposition was altogether wicked. There was a choice to walk another way. But he walked faithfully with God. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be misled. Bad or evil company corrupts good character. Isn't that funny? The simple lessons that your parents teach you. I mean, how many times I listen? My mother used to tell me, don't go into the store with anybody. Like she said, if you were with your friends, she said, don't go in the store with them. She said, well, because you don't understand their character. She said, they can get you in trouble. But you know, just like an adolescent, I mean, mom's being extreme. I have good friends. They don't do bad things. No, I went into a store and with some friends, you know, a bunch of teenagers going in place. And I came out the store and I was thinking, yeah, mom, these guys aren't as bad. She's always down on them. And they start reaching into my coat pocket, pulling out all the stuff they stole by putting in my pocket out of the store. And I said, man, you crazy? I could have went to jail. He said, no, yeah, you could have went. We wouldn't going to go. You took the stuff. I said, evil could see. You can be around the wrong factions and your sense of right and wrong changes. And instead of defending God's position, you begin to defend the position of someone who has an evil heart. You begin to identify with Cain's disposition, who was just upset with the rules. That's all it was. It was upset with God. And then jealousy set in, and then murder. The Bible says to walk circumspectively. My son, at youth camp, my son Jackson came to me, and he was, he looked a little distraught. And I was talking to him, and he began to have a conversation. I want to do more right for the Lord. I said, well, what are you doing wrong? He said, I just feel like I don't get it right all the time. I'm not, you know, praying and everything. And I'm just getting it wrong. I said, well, Jack, well, do you want me to, would it help you if there was no rule to pray or read the Bible before you do anything in the morning? That'd help. I can take that away. I said, if you feel pressure, I said, I'll take it away. He said, no. He said, I feel like I'm missing it, but if you take that away, then when I'm really lost, I won't have a place. He said, so I know I feel bad sometimes, but I know I'm going to pray every morning. And I know I'm going to read my Bible. So this is how I get. See, walking with God is just a daily discipline. It's just a daily, I pray. I read my word. I do what I say. I would give you more, but I'm going to stop there. And I will say this. He walked faithfully. He didn't just walk with God. He walked faithfully, consistently. I look about the average mother who has children and people to drive around and or dad who's just working to pay the bills. And if all of these different things you have to achieve, and yet every day, the one thing you do is like Jackson. Well, I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray. I'm going to walk with God. And you might think that mundane living is not significant enough to get praise from God. But there was a man named Enoch that his most significant contribution wasn't that he was a father or a sibling or had, he was just born. It was that he walked faithfully every day and he did the same things with God and he pleased God and he was commended. I want to let you know that you please God. You say, I don't think I please God. I think you do. Because there's something I think the devil hides about the character of God that's revealed in my final scripture I just want to say to you. It's Matthew 3:16. And this is the moment before Jesus had done anything significant. Here's what was said of him by his father. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." It seems as if it was the doing of walking, but it's not the doing of walking that did it. It's the being within the relationship that did it. It's just being in correct proximity. It's just saying, you know what, Lord, I may not have all the achievements of everybody else, but I knew that I just needed you. And I know that sometimes the enemy tells you you're not worthy and you're not good enough. But I'm here to remind you that your faith is great faith. That if it's the simple faith of daily walking with Jesus, being with him, it's enough to be counted. And maybe you felt discounted. But I was assigned this morning to say it counts. And I know that you hear that voice that says you're not pleasing God because you're not doing enough. And I'm telling you, you've already done enough. You're here trying to get closer to him and be more intimately aligned with him. And that's where greatness is. Faithfully walk it out. Learn to be Mary, not Martha. Martha ran around and did a whole lot of stuff. But Jesus said Mary was doing what was more needful. He was just at the feet of Jesus. She was being with him. Stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you today. And we're not going to do an altar call. I'm going to pray over all of us. And I'm going to dismiss you because I want you to have community. And one of the steps before I pray that this message really hits you home to you is walking with God also gives us the strength and ability to walk with one another. And there's a life group tables and discipleship opportunities all throughout this church. And there's this temptation in the human condition to ignore all of the things that are set up or people who are set up to help you. I'm begging you today, don't stay estranged from your family. Don't think that you're going to make it on your own. I've been at this church almost 16 years, and I've been in life groups that whole time. And those are the people, the friendships, the relationships that have impacted my life over and over and over again. The Bible says he that is alone will meet destruction. I'm thinking about saints that are in the hospital right now, and I get to the hospital, and all the people over years that have been in their life group, they're there in the most difficult moments you can imagine. If you've been searching for friendship, friendship and a relationship really go hand in hand, and you have to make yourself available for it. Walking with Jesus will create another pattern that allows you to walk with other people. If you've been walking alone, it's over. You can daily walk in your devotional life with Jesus, but you can also walk with other people and demonstrate great faith. If you've watched this message and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, I've got good news. You can do it right now. I want you to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life for the rest of my life. I acknowledge I am a sinner. I need you
my Savior. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead on the third day. And I confess that you are now Lord of my life. If you've just prayed that prayer, I have good news for you. You have eternal life. The next step for you is to get in a Bible-believing church. We volunteer to be that church. But if not us, we pray God's blessings on you as you search for God's best for you. Thank you.